My address to you this morning is entitled, Why Do You Go to Church? It appears a simple question. However, the answer or answered are varied and not so simple. So I would like to share some thoughts and reflections on going to church, on church going. Imagine the following exchange between a Catholic and a Unitarian. The Catholic points out to the Unitarian, "You don't believe in God, so why do you go to church?" The Unitarian replies, "I know you well. You believe in God, but you do not go to church. Why so?" Have we here something of a contradiction? On the face of it, there appears to be. However, I am not sure there is a contradiction. The reasons that people go to church, to Sunday worship, to Mass, to synagogue, to respond to the Islamic call to prayer are manifold and very different. The first and, of course, foremost reason people go to church is to pray, to acknowledge and celebrate a god or a deity. Such a god or divinity can take many forms and involve varied beliefs depending on different religions. Such prayer will pay homage to a narrative of past prayer practice and religious experience, such as the Bible, the Torah, or the Quran. For many people, members of established faith systems, weekly or regular attendance is a compulsory part of their faith. But beyond this formal, prayerful dimension of going to church lie many other reasons for participation. People may like the sense of occasion and formality of a service, the accompanying music and hymn singing, and the possibility to learn new insights and skills. Children and young people may benefit from play and study groups. And importantly, people come to church to enjoy a sense of companionship, to meet and befriend others in the congregation, often to share coffee and biscuits after the formal proceedings, and to talk, laugh, and commiserate with one another. For some, going to church can mean going to a home for a home, or sometimes simply to a home. So in considering why people go to church, we can observe an array of reasons along a spectrum from the sacred and divine to the more worldly and everyday. These reasons can be seen as complementary and as enriching one another. Indeed, when it comes to Sunday service or Sunday worship, the sacred and the secular are often surprisingly intertwined. In this church, I am quietly amused when I hear, "Yes, I enjoyed the service." In my dictionary, enjoy equates with take pleasure in. Another comment I sometimes hear in this Unitarian church is, "No, I don't go to worship." The word worship is seen as old-fashioned and suggesting an undesirable subservience. Yet in the prayer entitled To Worship by David Trapp that I recited earlier in the service, he speaks in broad definition of worship. To worship is to sing with the singing beauty of the earth. Worship is a loneliness-seeking communion. Worship is the mystery within us, reaching out to the mystery beyond. Yes, the word worship can imply a genuflection, even a prostration, to adore or appease a deity, a practice that is very important and significant in many traditional religions. However, for many of us, at a more prosaic level, worship can also suggest an acknowledgement of a possibly greater presence than our mere selves, of a transcendence towards which we might aspire, of a divineness that might nourish us. Such an existential humility admits the limits of our own wisdom and virtue and helps expose our own mistakes and shortcomings. There is a deep need within many people to find meaning, to ask what is our life all about, to ponder the eternal and how it might link with our daily existence. This exploration of the soul, this soul work, drives us to delve into the spiritual and divine within us in order to understand how we might lead more authentic and worthwhile lives. A church and church going offer a safe and welcoming space and opportunity on this spiritual and reflective journey. To quote from Philip Larkin's poem entitled Church Going, written in 1955, "A serious house on serious earth it is." Of course, there are many other spaces and opportunities for personal and profound reflection. In nature, through literature, drama, art, architecture, and music, engaging in travel, informal study, and contemplation. However, since time immemorial, a temple, a chapel, a church has had a central role in human destiny. A church provides a building, a supportive community, religious practice in an intergenerational way, spiritual insight, learning, shared memory, a heritage, a history, all under one roof. Yet we are confronted with a great irony. On the one hand, we are living in a noisy and fragmenting era where the challenge to find meaning and a satisfactory life direction is getting harder. On the other hand, churches and organized religion, which could possibly help, are in decline. This irony particularly affects younger people, who often see traditional religious institutions as unbending monoliths, irrelevant to their lives and to their quest for understanding. But the quest remains. Gladys Gabriel, a professor in the sociology of religion at Queen's University Belfast, and the author of several books on religious belief in Ireland, has some interesting observations on this quest. In a recent newspaper article, she points out that many young people who are categorized as having no religion, so-called nuns, are still engaged with spiritual thought. She quotes a group of US sociologists who have observed how young adults retain a back pocket God despite abandoning organized religion. These young people treat faith like a smartphone app, something readily accessible, easy to control and useful, but only for limited purposes. As a young person, I was fortunate to attend a Catholic boys' school or college in Dublin, where I received an education I greatly appreciate. However, in my teenage years, a big disconnection developed between how I perceived the world and the Catholic faith in which I was brought up and which was espoused by the college. Since that time, I have continued to be interested in matters of the spirit, in various belief systems, whether religious, political, or social in nature, and even in low-level philosophical inquiry. Mindful, I suppose, of Socrates' famous dictum that an unexamined life is not worth living. For most of my adult life, I have been somewhat envious of people who dressed up in their Sunday finery and went to church, enjoying the formality of the occasion and a likely sense of fellowship. But I've always felt uneasy or out of place going to a church service. I felt my own beliefs, or lack of them, sat uneasily in the presence of a strong faith-based community in a church. Until one Sunday service some 11 years ago, when my wife Rita and I quite literally stumbled into this church on St. Stephen's Green. I was full of wonderment at what we encountered. A thoughtful sermon, hymns, music, conviviality, all celebrated in a respectful but not in an overly creedal way. Liberal theology and a non-subscribing frame of mind were for me. And so my membership of this remarkable Unitarian community has greatly enriched my life over the past decade. And I would very much like to thank our minister, Reverend Bridget Spain, for this. At times, a church can appear austere, intimidating, uninviting, a place that separates and sets apart, that invites only a select few. So let's remember the great European cathedrals that opened their doors in medieval times to provide lodging and hospitality to pilgrims on their long journeys. A church is a welcoming place and space, not just to the few. It welcomes all comers, whether worthy or unworthy, whether fervent or not so fervent, whether contented or unhappy. No passport or interrogation are required. A church welcomes the lonely, the financially needy, the anguished, the sinner, the searcher, the back pocket God advocate, and the bouncy castle Catholic. Each may find a space, an insight, a revelation, a hope, a friend, a sense of community, something transcendent, maybe even a religion. Breda O'Brien, the Irish Times columnist who addresses issues of faith and religion in society, wrote recently with some frustration about the bouncy castle Catholics. Church attendees who only come with their children on the occasion of a First Holy Communion or confirmation celebration, and where the party after seems more important than the ceremony itself. She wisely noted, some of the parents bringing their children for the First Holy Communion are not counting down the minutes until they can get on with the real business of the day, the party. They are there because of an inchoate sense of missing something and wanting their children to have a deep connection to meaning. Turning a back pocket faith or a bouncy castle Catholicism into a meaningful conviction, religious conviction, is not an easy task or journey. But didn't Jesus tell his followers to chase the lost sheep rather than just comfort the flock. The parable of the lost sheep is one of the three so-called redemptive parables. It is a beautiful and profound parable in which Jesus speaks the following closing lines. I tell you, even so, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Luke chapter 15, verse 7. Most of this address has spoken about meaning and spiritual engagement. Yet most of us go to church to embrace a sense of community and interact with a fellowship of like-minded people. It is as much about social connection as about spiritual connection. But this is what makes a church a special place. We can, of course, build our sense of belonging, friendships, and social capital from a myriad of activities outside a church, like recreational and sporting activities, volunteering and charity work, group travel, and so on. In these ways, we become less isolated and do not have to, in the words of David Putnam, bowl alone. Yet a church provides more. I spoke earlier how under one roof, a church provides a building, a supportive community, religious practice in an intergenerational way, spiritual insight, learning, shared memory, a heritage, and a history. Whereas social capital building activities beyond or outside a church can offer aspects or parts of what a church offers, but not all. Indeed, sociological studies have confirmed that communities created around secular activities outside of houses of worship cannot give the same level of wraparound, holistic support that a temple or mosque or church are able to offer. That's what makes a church unique. That's why we go to church. Amen.